Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
In fact, you gotta know what to do if you are stopped or arrested by these devils.
That's right.
You can't run off in the mouth when the devil gets you. You shut your mouth. You're a soldier. We are at war. We are a captured nation. We have been held in captivity for 400 years in fulfillment of the prophecy of the Bible that we would be in this condition. Genesis the 15th chapter, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th verse. And when you are captured by your enemy, behind enemy lines, you only give name, rank, and
serial.
What do you give?
Name, rank, and serial.
That's your driver's license at best. If you ain't got that, that's your dog tag. If you don't have that, it's your ID card. Your New York ID card. Your Jersey ID card. That's your name breaking serial. Well, what about so-and-so? We're going to kill you, buddy. We're going to put you away, buddy, for life. You're really facing something serious here, guy. And they turn the lights on your television. Let me have the wild sergeant. You don't say nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Say, I'd like to see my attorney.
That's right.
Say, we're going to lock you up and keep you there. We're not going to feed you. We're not going to give you no phone call. We're not going to do nothing. You say, come on with it.
That's right. That's right.
Lock me up.
That's right.
I'm not making no statement on tape. I'm not making no statement on video. I'm not signing a test there. What I say, God damn. So once you sign it, God has damned
you.
You understand? When you are stopped, when the devil approaches you and puts them with his funny sirens, they got into your as soon as you hear that thing and see the light, if it's night, you drive it or whatever, If you can turn your light on in your car before they get out, you turn the light on in your car. Let them see inside of your car. That means you got to be clean. You can have nothing inside your car you don't want them to see. All right? Put your hands on the steering wheel so the thief can see your hands. When he approaches, they're nervous. They're scared of you. Because they know that the day is coming when you're going to wake up. They know the day is coming when you're going to do what you're supposed to do. They thought this report was that. They thought that we had organized tight squads already and was taking them out one by one with the tight squads. Well, there will come a time when the pipe squad will rise. Huh? All color squads are going to rise. We're going to make up for what has been done. By God's command. Not by mine. Nobody will stand and give you orders. You'll have orders coming from a commander inside of you. And you'll know when to move and you'll know what to do. You'll kill everything white that ain't right that's in sight. Yes, you will. That day is coming. Put your hands in clear view. The devil is nervous. Normally they pull their guns. But they're scared of you. Normally they come with many troops. Sometimes they call for backup before they stop. They won't get out. But they scared of you.
That's right.
You say, see your driver's license. You got to handle this. This is a savage.
That's right.
This is a savage. So you got to say to him, sir, my driver's license are in my coat pocket or in my jacket pocket. Or my driver's license are in my hip pocket, my back pocket. My driver's license are in the glove compartment. May I get it, sir? That ain't no punk. That's a soldier talking to another soldier behind enemy lines, and for the time being, the enemy soldier has the upper hand. At the time. And so you say, it's in the glove compartment. I'll have to reach in the glove compartment and get it. I have no weapons in the glove compartment. And you slowly reach to open the glove compartment. You open the glove compartment. He's still scared. I will have to reach in the glove compartment to get my identification and registration. There is no weapon, I remind you, in the glove compartment. Would you shine your light in the glove compartment before I reach in the glove compartment? The devil shines his light. Reach in slowly. Take it out. Get your license. Name, rank, and serial number. You give it to him. We have reason to suspect that you've been involved in a rape in Central Park. We have reason to believe that you so-and-so, and such and such. Don't you start talking.
That's right.
You don't say nothing.
That's right.
Because when he reads you Miranda, is that what they call it?
Yes,
you gotta write some ring silence, buddy. Anything you say might be held against you in the corner of water. That cracker. And anything you don't say might be held against you. So you know anything you say is gonna be held against you. You don't give up no information on nothing. Where you coming from? Sir, am I under arrest? Ma'am, am I under arrest? Where you going? Am I under arrest? If they say no, you say, sir, if I'm not under arrest, I'm not under obligation to answer any questions. I'd like to have my identification. I'd like to have my identification and be on my way. If he says you're under arrest, you say, sir, what is the charge? You're charged with so-and-so and such and such. You want to talk about it, buddy? I'd like to see my attorney. If you're a minor, you say, I want to see my parents and my attorney. Period. You keep saying that over and over and over. They'll try you every way they can. You tell them nothing. I'm telling you.
Go ahead,
brother. I'm not telling you to go out and beat white women in the head with pipes, but if you beat them in the head with the pipe, don't say nothing.
Go ahead.
If you kill them and leave them dead in the park, I'm not telling you to go and kill them and leave them dead in the park, but it's no more than what they've done to others. And if you kill them and leave them in the park, don't say nothing. Don't give up no information. Nothing. Then when they do their report, they'll do what they call creative report. Right? They start lying. But don't you give them nothing that they can use against you. Why am I doing this? I want to cover this and cover this war back and forth between the two because somebody has to talk to you on this. Somebody trains them on how to come after you. Somebody got to train you on how to deal with them when they come. You may not be at war, but you definitely in war. You just the only one ain't fighting. Your enemy is fighting you every day and every way. He wants to take as many young men off the street as he can.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the big picture. Just wanted to play that clip that Brother Khalid Muhammad was a powerful force. He was truly one of our warriors out here in this fight. And like he said, we are at war, we're just not fighting back. And like he said, don't say nothing. But welcome. Welcome one. Welcome all. Thank you all who have called in. And thank you all for listening online. If you are listening online and would like to call in and be part of the show, which I would appreciate, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. And I will be opening up the mics later on in the show if you have a comment or something that's on your mind. Feel free to press the 1, and when I open the mics, you can join in the conversation. Tonight, my subject is our youth, our need to guide them, support them, protect them, direct them. Not only are we victims and casualties of this war, but our children are as well. I played that clip that I played, How to Deal with the Police by Khalid Muhammad. I just wanted that to be heard. I had listened to that clip months ago. I listened to it several times, but a lot of the things that he says in that particular clip makes a lot of sense. I mean, as far as how we should conduct ourselves, and see, we need to put ourselves on code so that we can stop all this police madness. Because what I saw today, before I get into my topic, what I saw today was a man begging for another man to be free after murdering. Flat out murdering a man. I'm not even going to lie to you. I've been trying to keep up with this trial. I used to want to be a lawyer, and I just I like to research. I like to read. I like to know things, you know. And I think I can credit my granddad to that. But in knowing things, you have to give as well. You know, it don't do me no good to know something if I'm not going to share it, if I'm not going to let my brothers and sisters know. So, I mean, we got to get on that particular level with this and stop hiding the information from each other. Because you see how this system works. And it shouldn't be amazing. I mean, that's his damn job. His damn job is to get that fucking murderer off. Y'all excuse my French. I'm going to try not to cuss as much as I did last week in my rant. But I'm semi-rant right now as well. Because to me, and I don't know that I'm not the only one. I know there are numerous people who feel the way I feel about this. It's an open and shut case. Like the prosecutor said, the first prosecutor who done his closing statements this morning, precise, concise, to the point, and it didn't take him all day. But see, when you got to make up and concoct stories and try to sway people from not seeing what they saw, well, it takes a whole lot of slick-tongued double talk to do that. Through lies here and there, and how they just he kept trying to make a point about the oxygen levels and, you know, all that damn all that. I mean, you got three full-grown ass men compressing your body against concrete that's not going to give, but this man is still trying. I mean, I'm in the jury pool now. I'm already voting guilty. I told my wife it shouldn't take them any longer than a day to come back with a verdict. It's an open and shut case. And then arrogant, pompous-ass murderer. I don't know if any of you saw when he spoke today. He wants the judge to sentence him. So it's just things, and I don't trust that, you know, that judge is going to uphold the law, that he's going to do the right thing as far as sentencing him if he gets a guilty verdict. You know, we saw so many cases where these cops basically get a slap on the wrist after taking a life. So what Dr. Khalid Muhammad was saying, I just wanted to play that clip. I mean, we honestly, and like y'all know, I'm not advocating violence, but I'm advocating self-defense. And we have got to be vigilant for each other as well, because anything that can happen to one of us can happen to all of us. And I'm sure that, rest his young soul, I'm sure that Deontay's mother did not plan on having a funeral for her, you know, young son. But unfortunately, in this climate that we are in, we are seeing this progress. And it's not progressing for the better. And what we need to do in order for our children to even have a possibility is we've got to do what needs to be done. And that can many various aspects. We first of all have got to get it together financially. It's the first thing that we have to do in order to guide, in order to be effective. We have got to fund ourselves. We can't depend on these groups and these organizations and these activists who are getting money out of the ass on black death. And I, may, you know, it's going to be a controversial show. They mostly always are, but I partly blame us for that because it's up to us to make the difference. And if we don't make the difference, we cannot expect our children to even have a clue of what it takes to make a difference, what it takes to change, what it takes to build. And we have got to give them the knowledge that we didn't have as youngsters. And we've got to show them how to monetize everything that they want to do. And I'm not saying worship money. And I'm not one who believes that money is the root to all evil. I believe that some people get money and become evil. Plain and simple. They get that money, they get that power, like the people that we deal with, them people get money, get a little power. And that privilege right along with it, not to mention a system that's catered to them. And we're seeing that right now firsthand. And I'm just, you know, I'm hopeful that this jury will get it right. But all in the same breath, I was around during the Rodney King beating. I remember Latarsha Harlan being murdered. I was around when they drugged Brother Bird to death down in Jasper. So they have never quit, and we have got to remember that they target our children as well. Have we forgot about Emmett Till? We can never forget about that. That is the prime example of what and who we're dealing with and what they will do to one of us, one of our children. Heartless people have no soul, who have no soul, don't feel remorse. It's not in them. And I've told my wife, I told her to just pay attention to them and watch how they start coming into character. And when I say coming into character, I'm talking about how Scripture describe them and how Scripture says they will behave. Because we're not the savage that they have portrayed us to be. We are not the animals that they have portrayed us to be. And this is what we have got to instill in our youth. And we've got to start reconnecting with our youth. Plain and simple, we've got to support them and give them direction because they are the next generation who will have to face this if it is not taken care of ASAP. And see, I sit and I often think, damn, I hope that my grandchildren don't have to be dealing with this when they get grown. I hope that we have awaken enough by then that we have understood our need for each other. Let me go on and throw that in there. But not only our need for each other, but learn how we've got to show them how to come together and work together, build together. And we've got to be the ones to show them, period, point blank. We are becoming the elders now. So we've got us passing down knowledge and wisdom. Time for bullshit is been over. It's time to give these children the truth because what they don't know will kill them out here now. There was once upon a time, like when I was a younger child back in the 70s, when we could play in the streets, there was still things you had to look out for, but, you know, you're going to have your ass home when them street lights come on. But danger was not ever present like it is nowadays. kids, really, some kids in some cities can't even play out in the street, can't even play in their front yard. See, and that's crazy that we allow that to happen, that we don't want to give our children better than what we had. And that is something that we are responsible for. Our children, no matter what you have, I don't care if you live in a $200,000 house, a $2 million house, I don't care if you got a $1 million bank account, it ain't as precious as that child that you have, for those of us who have children, and that grandchild that you are part of, whose life you are part of as well. See, and the best thing that we can do for the generations behind us is to give them truth, uncut, raw truth. Because, see, the thing about it is we try to sugarcoat it and make things seem like it's going to be all right. See, I can remember when my great-granddaddy used to tell me stories about when he was a kid and something in the same. Only thing that has changed is the times and the severity. But the severity is kicking right back in, and we're losing our children. And this system doesn't care that we're losing our kids, that we're losing our babies. This system don't give a damn about that. That's what this system wants. That's somebody that won't be able to make another one of us. See, we've got to understand how they work, because they understand how we work. Believe you me, they watch and study us, and we have got to drill that into our children, not to be prejudiced, because we can't be racist. Let's get that understood. But prejudice to a point that it makes you just like them. And I've seen it happen. And like I say, our children are the most valuable thing that we possess. We should put as much time and effort into our children as we do turning up and doing all the other senseless bullshit that we do. We should find more time to give to them, because they're the ones who are going to be left here after we're gone to deal with this madness. And see, we have got to give one of these generations the tools to defeat this racism and to learn and know what nation building is about, and what knowing your culture and your heritage is about. Because I said this a couple of weeks ago, we have a culture. We have a culture here, and we have an even richer culture. But see, we don't take the time to teach that. We don't take the time to understand who we are. And I think if we truly understood who we were, we all would move different. And if we move different, our children will move different. And see, we've got to tell our children about these situations that are happening, because they'll shoot one of ours at 12, 13, 15, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as you are wrapped in melanin, you are public enemy, at least here in this country. Pretty much globally, though. Yeah, you are public enemy number one. And that is because of our connection. And see, some of us don't even know how connected we are. And that's why I always say get your spirit right. Because this is, like I say, not so much as a black and white fight. This is a good versus bad, good versus evil, right versus wrong. That's what this is all about. That's what it's all about. And these police killings are wrong. And I'm not saying we're the only ones that are victimized by it, but we are the highest percentage that it seems to happen to. For us to only make, you know, for us to be the lowest percentage of this total population, we are victims of police violence more than any other ethnicity. And CNN, I mean, I know what some people's arguments will be. Well, what about black-on-black crime? I'm not talking about black-on-black crime. We already know about that, you know. And if we could, if the system was right, that wouldn't exist. And see, that's why I say we have got to be the ones to give our children back a sense of hope, and to give our children back a sense of direction. Allow our children to dream again and not have to worry about all of these senseless things that are happening in society. I'm not saying they should be sheltered from it. They should definitely have an understanding of it. It's important that they do have an understanding of it. It's important that we teach our children how to interact with these race soldiers. And see, I'm not one to say act a fool, but I am one to say pick and choose your fights wisely. And then, too, the fight is a lot easier when you are organized, when you are unified, when you have numbers. And see, that's where we fail, because we'll come together, but we won't stay together. We won't sustain that unity. And without sustaining unity, you're just doing something, you know. And we're to a point now where we have to do more than just something. It's time for us to start digging our way out of this hole. It's time for us to establish some things that will have longevity. Most of the things that we establish, create, have longevity. But everybody gets rich off of it except for us. And that's because we refuse to put our money together and work together financially. And see, another thing about that is we've got to show our children and teach our children how to handle money, how to, I'm not going to really so much say invest, because I don't trust that stock market either. It's just another part of the system. And then I wouldn't really mess with that stock market for the simple fact that we were the first stock on that market. So fuck the stock market. But we got to teach our children how to be wise with their money, how to teach them how to let their money work for them. And see, that's most of our problem. We don't give our money time enough to work for us. You can't put in $100 and then expect to get that back the next day. And then you can't expect to get it all back if you really are trying to build a business. So I'm saying that to say, you know, we all knew about money. But we didn't really know about money and how money worked, credit and all of that. We didn't learn about those kind of things until we got grown. And those are things that our children need to know as well. And like I say, we've got to give it to our children raw and uncut, because just example, here in Texas where I'm at, I spoke about this the other day. I haven't saw it on any national news networks, but up in Aledo, which is suburb here in the DFW area, A-L-E-D-O. But there was a school out there in Aledo where they were having what they called nigger slave auctions that they were doing virtually, and they were betting on the black students at the high school. So this is where we're at, and this is why I say it's important that we let our children know, because if we don't, society will teach them, and at least we can teach them and advise them and guide them in love, as opposed to how they're going to get it out here in the real world, because the real world is going to give it to them raw and uncut and uncensored. You know, just like, I mean, the Hispanic kid who lost his life, and this is my thing, you know, senseless police killings. It's just these police are now becoming militarized, and these police, it's like it's almost like it's a game to them. It's almost like, you know, body cam, like they get strikes for it. I was actually on called into my sister's show last night, and she had a very informative show for me, because I actually heard of some militia groups that I had no clue about. But these are the types of things that are happening around us and right up under our nose. These militias are being built, and do not think that these people are not training their children, their women as well, and children as well, about firearms, firearm safety, self-defense tactics, self-defense, all of that. And those are things that we, unfortunately, living in this country, are going to have to get in practice for. Just yesterday, prime example, me and my wife were on our way home, and came up Bowen Street to me is just a jacked up street. That's the street where they killed O'Shea Carey, which is right around the corner from me. But for the past few Sundays, there has been gathering of white people on the corner of California and Bowen here in Arlington, Texas. And when we rode through there Sunday, and I have been kind of paying attention to it, and I go up and down that street quite a bit, but I've noticed it, like I say, last few weeks, and when I say last few weeks, I'm talking about like probably 8 to 12 weeks, and a few times during the Trump junk that was going on. So Sunday we're riding through there, and I've never seen anyone armed over there, you know, carrying weapons or anything. They have their American flags and their Trump flags and all that other bull out. But when we went through that Sunday, I noticed a couple of guys with ARs strapped on their backs. And when I say a gathering, I went through there a couple of Sundays ago, and there were probably over 100 people gathered on that particular corner. And my common sense tells me what to do, but my curiosity, it's just my curiosity. I'm not going to approach them because I know what kind of people they are, and I keep mine on me too. But curious to know what they are doing, because these militia groups are building. There are quite a few here in Texas, and these are the types of things that we're going to have to deal with, regardless of if you believe it or not. If you don't believe it, I don't know where you've been. Just look at all the madness and violence and mass shootings that have been happening over the last 2.5-3 weeks. It seems to be an uptick in that, and that bothers me. And it bothered me yesterday riding through there, seeing these armed white men, because I know their thirst for blood, their thirst for confrontation. And like I say, I'll never stop. I'm just curious to know what it is they're doing, and I think I already know, but I really would like to be a little ant on the ground so I could find out what's going on. And those are things that we need to start doing. Rebuilding family. And let's just start there. You know, rebuilding that family unit. And, you know, I can remember I knew my cousins growing up, you know. I mean, we would spend nights over my grandmother's house. Shit like that, you know. Maybe over one of the uncle's house. But, you know, family, these kids don't know each other. Sometimes we walk around here acting like we don't know each other. And it's not a wonder why these children behave the way some of them do. They follow example. And we've got to be the example, whether you want to be or not. A lot of people don't want to be a role model. If you don't want to be a role model, don't ever have kids. Because it's your job to teach them right from wrong. It's your job to give them morals, value. Like I say, just a lot that we take for granted, because we take for granted we're going to see the sun tomorrow. And not everybody's going to see the sun tomorrow. See, and the time is now. We can't wait and feel as if, you know, me, I'm 51, so my days of thinking I'm going to live forever or have long faded away, you know. So it's time for us to seize the moment and create the new normal that I keep referencing. Time for us to realize and recognize our needs, how much we need each other, period, point. Blank. We have got to understand and recognize that. And we have got to be the one to help start to turn the tide. Because like I say, we can't rely on these groups, these organizations, these individuals, because a lot of these groups and these organizations and these individuals are in it for the wrong reason. I do this. I don't get paid. I got a job. I work every day. But I still find time to keep up with what's going on, know what's going on, and still try to be in the midst of this fight. You know, I sacrifice a lot, yeah, but I try to balance it all at the same time. Like I say, we just really got to get to work on rebuilding us, rebuilding the village. Even in the little town I grew up in, East Texas, in our neighborhood, we had a store. We had a couple of stores, a couple of cafes. We'd have to leave outside our boundaries unless we just wanted to. We could get everything we needed right there in the hood. We need to get back to that. You know, we need black farmers. We need black electricians. We need all of that. Everything that we have given to this country, we need to give back to ourselves and stop begging these mzungus for reparations. And you can pull up, you can Google a list of who this country has paid reparations to, and they have paid reparations to everybody except us. Why is that? Well, my guess is because we won't come together and stay together on their ass. Because, see, to me, reparations could mean free health care. Reparations could mean tax freedom. There are a lot of ways that they could, but they won't, because it's all about the dollar. And that's why I say the most effective thing that we can do and start preaching and teaching children as well is to keep your money to yourself. If you're not spending with somebody that don't look like you, don't spend. And get with some like-minded individuals who want to have some things in life and put y'all's money to work for y'all. We have too much intellect not to take advantage of it. We gave them hip-hop, they took it. And then they took it. Yeah. R&B, and then they took it. Every music genre, basically, we gave it to them, and they took it as theirs. And as, I don't know if this is a word or not, but as unrhythmic as they are, you know, they ain't created all this, you know, no, no. But I digress. But, yeah, we just got to teach our children how to finance their own intellect, finance their own ingenuity, their own thoughts, their own dreams, and stop allowing others to step in and finance their dream, and then at the end of the day, they get nothing. And it's happened time and time and time again. The man that made Jack Daniels, I'm sure that white man's children and great-great-great-grandchildren is living high on the hog. While the black man who gave him the recipe, I bet you some of his family is in the same situation I'm in the struggle. You know, Henrietta Lacks, another prime example of how they take and get rich and never even consider sharing the wealth, even though it didn't belong to them. They just took it and profited off of it. And we have got to be the ones for that, to do that, especially when our minds and bodies are concerned, period. We need to capitalize on that and stop allowing them to keep capitalizing on us. And we allow it. We allow it. The malls will be packed this weekend. Walmart will be packed this weekend because we refuse to give up a little comfort. You know, we refuse to sacrifice something to get something bigger, something better. And see, then if them children see us doing it, do you think they won't be hungry to do it? And see, then the thing about it is, intellectually, we've got a weaker, wiser generation. If they can see us doing things, don't you know they're going to take it to a whole nother level? Because, see, it's something about us. Whenever we do something, we take it out and do it so different, and can't nobody duplicate it. Nobody can replicate it. Nobody can do it like we do. We master shit. That's my point. So just imagine if just 20 or 30% of us actually started working together and we master this unity shit. How about that? Get on that. We've mastered pretty much everything else. Let's master that. Because, see, our day for control is coming. Are we ready for control? Are our children ready for control? And they're the ones that's going to have to be ready. Our children, our grandchildren, those behind us. That's why we've got to fortify the front line right now. We've got to fortify the front line and make sure that the front line is unbreakable, unbendable, and on a mission. Those behind us can do what they need to do. And that is my opening commentary. I'm through rant. I've been going a little longer than I intended to, actually. I want to thank the callers again, once again, for calling in. I'm going to throw a quick break in. Those who may be listening online, I appreciate you all. I love you all. Y'all just don't know. But if you're online listening, call in numbers 914-205-5538. Knight talked about a couple of subjects, touched on this police violence situation, and then that murderous pig, Derek Chauvin. Then I touched on, you know, are you just, you know, their needs for our guidance and support, protection and direction, you know, we got to protect them. If they not here, they can't do anything. And like I say, it's sad to say, but their heads are on the chopping block as well. This is just the world that we live in, unfortunately. This is the world that we live in. But I'm going to take a quick break. This is the Panther Party Radio Network. And this is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask who yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you. We teach you to love the hair that God gave you. Hair you way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. Here, the white man makes the whiskey and then puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he catches you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Thank you all for joining me. If you want to join the discussion, you can press 1 and I'll open up the mics. Got about 30 more minutes left. Those of you who may be listening online who want to call in, get in, be a part of it, call in is 914-205-5538. I was just thinking about something during that particular break and listening to that clip from Brother Malcolm and towards the end when he said, you know, that the Muslims will, you know, die for their women. And I think that's any man, really, you know. But I just kind of want to piggyback off of that because really that's what us brothers need to get back, loyalty, Loyalty, yeah, I said it. Us brothers need to get back to family building. Yeah, this coming from another brother. Us brothers need to get back to being good men, period. Good men, good husbands, good fathers, to the best of our abilities. Because, honestly, you know, there is in every aspect and in every species, in every, just, I look at a lot of nature stuff. And you learn a lot just watching. And, you know, there is a pecking order as well with us. And a lot of us brothers are coming up short. A lot of us brothers are not giving it our best shot, not giving it our all. We're not being loyal to our women. See, and if we be loyal to our women, in return, we'll get all that we expect. Family, 101, love and respect. Don't be stepping all outside. I mean, don't get married if you're going to still be chasing skirts and vice versa, because I'm not going to just point at the men. But it's time for us to, like I'm just talking about a few minutes ago, rebuild family is where it all starts, because family is the most essential part to a community. Families within a neighborhood, you don't have a community, you just got a bunch of houses, people there. You know, strong family units. And if we rebuild strong family units, we can rebuild us collectively. And really, that's just about being on code, being respectful, doing what's right. You know it ain't right if you married to be out chasing other women, and vice versa. But, you know, I mean, respect yourself enough. See, a lot of it boils down to we don't respect ourselves. And how can we expect anybody else to respect us? And our children need to see strong black men and strong black women. I'm going to say that one more time for the one way at the back. Our children need to see strong black men, not these gender fluids and all this other nonsense, and strong black women who are doing what men and women are supposed to do and are maintaining a sense of family morals and values. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to stomp no toes, but the truth is just the truth. Anything that goes against rebuilding, replenishing, revigorating the black family, the black genocidal to us, anything that goes against that is not conducive to multiplying. Two men can't make a baby, neither can two women. They can love each other all they want, but they can't reproduce. And it's time that we start doing what's right. And when I say new norm, that's part of it. Creating a new norm that's normal. That's normal. Plain and simple. And like I say, I don't knock anybody for their choice, because their choice is that, their choice. I just don't want it saturated into my children's mind, because in my heart, in my spirit, I know that that is an abomination. We have got to get back to basics. I said this last week. We got to get back to basics with everything, and really connect with like-minded people who don't mind sacrificing a little time and a little energy into something bigger than just ourselves. Because the thing about it is, if we can get enough of us moving in the same direction and truly start a flow, truly start a current, a collective current, we could make a difference. And we could see that difference. I mean, we could see that difference within a few months if we would put a little effort into it. I also said last week, let's take 1 year, one trip around this mug, and let's start from scratch. Let's do black, buy black, build black, grow black. Let's start working on our thing. Let's take 1 year and dedicate it to us and buying some land and buying the things that we truly need, the things that will be here after we're long gone. We got to leave our children something to work with. We got to leave them something to work with, and we know what that is. It's money. It's land. It's anything that holds value. Cars and all that old kind of stuff. Man, talking about land, houses, businesses, those types of things where they can keep going. And like then that's what you call that generational wealth. That web that they can then pass down to their kids, and then their kids can then pass it. Y'all get the picture. How it's been done for years and years, and we just refuse to participate for some reason. It's like, do we want our children to have to struggle like we did? Do we want our children to, you know, be killed for playing in the park, for sitting at home eating a bowl of ice cream, sitting at home playing video games with your nephew, forgetting to put on a turn signal, for selling a damn loose cigarette, for supposedly stealing a pack of cigarillos? I don't want them to have those worries. None of us should. None of us should. We should eradicate this problem ASAP. And it's, you know, it's to a point where I'm almost done talking. I'm just almost done talking, and I'm going to start dedicating a lot more time to putting in a little more foot action, a little more presence in this Dallas-Fort Worth area, especially with all that's going on around here. I stay gone so much doing what I do. I drive trucks, so, I mean, I'm not at home on a regular basis as of yet. But I still don't let that hinder what I can do. And that's why I tell anybody, don't say what you can't do, and don't ask or wonder or worry about it. What you're doing is enough. Every little thing that you can do and contribute helps. You know, and we've got to, like I say, start being more supportive of one another if we truly want to see this change. And I mean, I honestly know and feel in my gut that the only way we will see change is when we make it happen. There's no other way around it. You know, and it's time for us to prepare ourselves for the inevitable, because some things are going to happen whether we want them to or not. You know, some things are going to happen, period. So, like I say, it's just, you know, a time for us to really reconnect with one another reconnect with your families. I mean, I know this COVID and stuff is still, you know, raising hell in some spots, but still, get out and try to do what you can do with your family while you can, because tomorrow's not promised to any of us. And be active with your children, and not just your children. I've said this a few times as well, and I try to reach out to a lot of the young guys that I know, just because I can remember being in my 20s, and I was doing a lot of things in my 20s I had no business doing, but nonetheless, we all need someone to talk to from time to time, and these young people definitely need somebody to talk to, and not really just talk to, a lot of times somebody to just listen and give them some sound advice, you know, because I know a few young men who are doing things they'd rather not be doing. It's only so long that you're going to let your stomach scrub your backbone before you fix that. And I understand that. And why can't we get that hungry for our unity? Why can't we get that hungry for our collective togetherness? We need to get that hungry about us. Like I say, you know, we need each other, and we need each other, no doubt. Like I say, I'm watching these people organize, and in the meanwhile, we still worrying about versus battles and nonsense. I mean, hey, don't get me wrong, I used to be a DJ. I like music, love music, but there are so many more important things on the table right now besides versus battle. We're so easily distracted. You know, I see more grown people doing TikTok videos than I see kids doing TikTok videos. There's so many other important things that I'm going to do with my time than to make TikTok videos. And I'm 51. What I look like making a TikTok video? I mean, we got to be more concerned about the pressing issues, the issues that are really affecting us. Because, you know, all that celebrityism, that doesn't affect us, period. Them folks are going to do what they're going to do, how they going to do it. Best believe you, me, they're not worried about none of us regular people. None of us regular folks. All they want us to do is keep coming to their movies, keep downloading their music and buying their music, and all they keep supporting them. But what do we get in return for that? Yeah, there are a few. There are a few that, you know, step up to the plate. Can't take that from them. But I wish I could get rich like that so I could give a little something back to my neighborhood. Because really, that's what it's about. And we do have enough of us out here doing big things to where if we were to come together collectively, we could change some things. You know, when I see all these celebrities, they donate money to these overseas causes and all that other jazz, and in the meanwhile, we still struggle. Okay, hold on. And like I say, we've got to just make a better way for the kids. All right, I see you, 1670. Your mic is open.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Peace. Welcome.
Peace, brother, and peace to Mark and Kevin, those brothers, too. I was going to write into the show, but it wouldn't let me because I don't have Facebook, but I was going to read a little bit what I had wrote. And first off, we must educate ourselves and children, and it starts with economics and love. I keep saying we must teach our children they can be more than entertainers. We must learn to bounce our money in between each other than just giving it out, you know, as soon as we get it, to other racial groups or groups of people. We also need to know how to do business amongst each other on both ends of the spectrum. And I think, and that's pretty much it, but we don't know how to do business amongst each other as a business owner. We don't know how, if we're a patron visiting that business, we don't know how to, you know, deal with that on that hand. So, and just to piggyback off of what you were saying earlier, my brother, I think we do need to stop looking at all of these entertainers and celebrities and get ourselves back to amongst each other, because like you were saying, it takes all of us to build a village, but all of this has been by design for them to come in between black love, the black family. You know, at one point in time throughout history, man, we had the black man, the black woman. Yeah, there might have been a lot of kids or, you know, a few kids here and there, but that love was there. You see what I'm saying? And now we look at it, now it's about baby mamas and baby mama drama, baby daddy drama. We got to get out of that. You know what I'm saying? So we have to take the onus on ourselves, like I wrote before, that, you know, we have to be able to come together, teach our kids, and be able to let them know, look, we're here for you. You know what I'm saying? And that's what the world wants us to think, is that black people, we single parent families, and, you know, the daddy ain't there, or the daddy and mama, you know, they got issues and stuff like that. But we need to get back to how it used to be. We've always been a family oriented type of people. We've always been a loving type of people. We've always been a spiritual type of people. So I think we just need, you know, to kind of slow down, get back to our bases and our roots, you know, because we're still doing stuff that Malcolm X told us not to do back in the 60s. One of the things that he said is, how can you let your children go get taught by the enemy? And we rush for our children, you know, to go to these private schools, public schools, colleges, or whatever else. You know, so, you know, that's basically all I had to say, man. You know, I love my people. I love y'all, you know, but we got to start, you know, kind of getting back to basics and this, you know, general of who we are naturally, getting back to the natural, you know what I mean? But keeping God first, the Most High first, you understand?
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I hear you. Yeah, I wasn't going to do a show, but this subject was just eating at me because I had a long day at work today. But this, like I say, it's just been on my mind all day, and so I just wanted to kind of touch on that because, yeah, like you said, you know, we did. Before this system got involved with the housing and child support as well, family was strong. I mean, like, my great grandparents were married for like 60 some odd years. People don't do that anymore. You know what I mean? That's a whole lot of time. 60 some years with one, you know, but I can deal with that. Because that's what we need to do. That shows that you have tolerance. That shows that you have patience. That shows that you have the ability to change. You know, that's longevity.
Yeah. Well, that black love is powerful. That black love is powerful.
Exactly.
That's why they, you know, have done what they've done to deconstruct it. You understand? So, you know, it's not just, you know, oh, I'm with this, you know, and yeah, like you were saying with your grandparents, you know, you don't even hear about people being married 30, 40 years, 20 years, 15 years. You know, granted, you know, I've been married to my wife. It'll be going on 8 years. Love her to death. Wouldn't change nothing about her. You know what I'm saying? But it's that black love, and we have to understand that the root of black love is going to have to be being self-sufficient, responsibility, amongst other things. That, you know, some black people might not want to be able to hear that right now, but we got to take responsibility on all aspects of this now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt, definitely. Because, I mean, like you were saying, you know, black love, that is powerful, and that is why they worked. Even when they first brought us here, they worked hard to keep the black man and the black woman separate. Because,
yes, sir.
You know, the black woman is the bobcat. She's a wildcat. The black man,
yes, sir.
She's the tigress, and the black man is the lion. You know, she's the lioness, and he's the lion. And that black woman, most black women have that bite. If it had not been for black women, the Panther Party would have never, Black Panther Party would have never survived without the sisters.
Can dig that, yeah. I mean,
you
the
know,
black woman
so
is.
Together,
you know,
when we are both actively playing our roles, the black man and the black woman are unstoppable. And just imagine,
there's no
just
doubt.
Imagine now, if you will, just imagine if we have that type of camaraderie within several households, and then we not only have that, we bring that together as a collective item. And we all on point. We all out.
No doubt.
And just imagine if you got 30 or 40 brothers and sisters who are on that level, on that point, and don't mind practicing group economics, who's ready to build, who's ready to grow. And like I said, this because we've got like 7,500 people on the Panther page and got a bunch on the chat page as well. I mean, that's like about 13,000, 14,000 people. Now, just imagine if we were to start, if we were to actually take those, if those people were to actually say, you know what, down with this, let's do this, boom, we could start doing some shit next week that would make a difference. And then by the end of next month, we'll see a big difference. But it's all about being patient and giving it time. Because, I mean, like I say, we hate to part with our money, even though we know we hate to part with 100 if we know we got 1,000 coming, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We've got to learn how to, like I said earlier, let our money, give our money a chance to work for us. And like you said, you know, when we got to let our money circulate among us. And then, like I say this, if you can't buy black, just put it back. Back in your
damn
pocket.
That's it.
Because
yes, sir.
If we keep, you know, funding these corporations, these big corps, we're going to continue to see what we see and get what we get because they're all connected to this system, period.
And you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. Just think about how all of these big corporations like you're talking about, just think about how they – you know, pander to the black race. You have the Popeye's chicken lady. You have the pop commercials. They'll have different celebrities on. You know, car Cadillac or BMW or whoever.
And notice how they've been bringing a lot of the old hip-hop back now in these commercials.
Yeah. So it's not a coincidence. They know because we're the biggest spenders. You know what I mean? We have the biggest amount of, you know, far as disposable money, we spend the most. We spend the most as consumers in the black race. So they know this. That's why everything that you see on all these commercials and radio and all of that is pandered to black folks because they know They don't practice the group economics. They don't circulate the money. You know, we don't have any businesses or anything. I mean, we do, but not on a scale like other racial groups. But what I'm saying is they know that as soon as we get money, we're gonna give it away. And I'm real quick to piggyback on what you said earlier about reparations. I agree with you. Reparations, I feel, just one slight difference. I feel that part, I want them to cut a check, period, because we got to bridge that wealth gap. But along with that, I'm with you. Give us tax-free exempt. Give us tax-free exempt, you know. And so what I was going to say is this. You have to – they know who – they it's like that saying, they know they Negroes, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, we got to start practicing it, you know, group economics. We got to start being able to hold back our money and just be able to, you know, learn how to deal with one another. That's the main thing. I just think that we don't know how to deal with each other on certain levels. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I agree. Sometimes we let the smallest thing, like I said in a show a couple of weeks ago, we do the divide and conquer. Now the system don't have to worry about it. We do it to our damn selves, you know.
Yeah.
And we do, you know.
Because it's like, you know, sometimes I be thinking, it's crazy for me to say this, but sometimes I be wondering, like, that they haven't given us our reparations. I be telling my wife and my mother, like, I'm surprised they haven't gave us reparations because they know that we're going to give it right back. And, you know, and because we don't know what to do with our money. You know what I'm saying? We got to have the fanciest car. We got to have, you know, the jewelry. And I'm not knocking nobody, you know, about that stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, come on, man. And I'm not saying everybody should be a business owner. Sometimes it's not in a person's makeup. But at the same time, we should be able to have something where we can call our own, where we can go into this neighborhood, that neighborhood, this community, or whatever, and be able to talk amongst each other, spend with amongst each other, and whatever else. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. We definitely have got to start working together. I got couple of minutes left here in this show, but yeah, it's really to a point where it's crucial, it's a must that we start working together, people. Like my brother was saying, we got to start building with each other. We got to start, you know, stop being so hateful, jealous, and envious towards one another as a people as well. I'm going to plug these other shows. Tomorrow we'll have Brother Mark Higgins with the Empowerment Zone. Brother Cleveland may be back. I hope he's well. I heard he was involved in an accident. I did not know that, but my thoughts and prayers go out to him. But I don't know if he'll be back this Wednesday or not, but he does do a show as well, The Uprising. It's on Wednesdays. All shows are at 8 p.m. Eastern. Brother Kevin's show is on Thursdays, the Panther Power Chat Open Rant, also 8 p.m. Just want to say before I go, let's get this thing together, people. I mean, honestly, truthfully, we need each other. We have got to recognize we should feel that. If you cannot feel how much we need each other right now, go back to sleep and wake up again. It's a must that we do something so we can have something to to pass down to our youth. They need us. They need us like we need each other. They need us. Like I say, for guidance, support, direction, and protection. Because not only are they hunting us, they're hunting our youth as well. All is fair game in love and war. And the sooner that we understand the condition that we're in, and this is why I always say it's important to change the condition, and we've got to change this condition we're in right now. A closed mouth don't get fed. And with that being said, like I always say in closing, let's plan, let's organize, let's unify. We all have a key. I'm out. Peace, power, and love.
Don't.
Here's what I want you all to do for me.
Bang. Caught you looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the rope below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on.
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the friend guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist priest to teach the
art. Cause some they never have this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome, a public enemy. Used, abused, without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Yes, was the start of my last jam, so here it is again, another death jam. But since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, they still consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope, but they hope to the Pope and pray it ain't dope. The follower of Farrakhan, he'll tell me that you understand until you hear the man. They'll book up the new school rap game, writers treat me like Coltrane, insane. Yes to them, but to me, I'm a different kind. We're brothers on the same mind, unblind, caught in the middle end, not surrendering. I don't rhyme for the sake of riddling. Some claim that I'm a smuggler. Some say I never heard of ya. A rap burglar. False media. We don't need it, do we?
It's fake, that's what it be to you. Dig me. Yo, Terminator X. Step up on the stand and show these people what time it is, boy. Don't believe the hype.
As an equal, can I get this through to you? My 98 booming with a trunk of funk. All the jealous punk can't stop the dunk. Coming from the school of hard knocks. Some perpetrate, they drink Clorox, attack the black because I know they lack exact the cold facts, and still they try to Xerox. The leader of the new school, uncool. Never played the fool, just made the rules. Remember there's a need to get alarm. Again, I said I was a time bomb. In the daytime, radio scared of me, cause I'm mad, plus I'm the enemy. They can't come on and play me in prime time, cause I know the time, plus I'm getting mine. I get on the mix late in the night, they know I'm living right, so here goes the mic sight. Before I let it go, don't rush my show. You try to reach and grab at your elbow. Word to her, yo, if you can't swing this, learn the words, you might sing this. Just a little bit of the taste of the bass for you. As you get up and dance at the LQ, with some denied defiant, I swing bolos. Then in it clear the lane, I go solo. The meaning of all of that, the media is the wax. As you believe it's true, it blows me through the roof. Suckers, liars, give me a shovel. Some writers I know are damn devils. From them I say don't believe the hype.
Yo, Chuck, it must be on the pipe, right?
Their pens and pads I snatch cause I've had it. I'm not an addict, fiend, it for static. I see their tape recorder and I grab it.
No, you can't have it back, silly rabbit.
I'm going to my media assassin, Harry Allen. I gotta ask him.
Yo, Harry, you're a writer, are we that tight?